The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
The Minister for Finance, Jack Chambers, announced his first budget today and he joins us now. Good evening, Minister. Thank you for joining us. A lot of our listeners want to bring up the issue of the USC, which you have cut the 4% rate to 3% for those incomes under 70,000. But a lot of our listeners feel you could have done an awful lot more, that the USC was introduced as a temporary measure, an emergency tax, and here we are a decade and a bit afterwards and we're still paying it. Why did you not go further?
Well, I think if you look at the overall income tax package, it's about 1.6 billion euro. And obviously, USC is a central component of that. My predecessor, Michael McGrath, did 0.5% at that band last year for workers between 25 and 70,000. I've made a reduction of from 4 to 3%. And also mixed that with significant increases in income tax credits, for example, of 125 euro. And then increasing the standard rate cut-off point from 44 to 44,000 euro. So the whole calibration of the income tax package was to make sure that average workers in our economy benefited significantly. And if you take an average worker, when you combine the cost of living supports with the income tax changes, they're all benefiting by at least 1,000 euro. And obviously, we're at the last budget of this government, but we'd be keen over the coming years to continue to make progressive changes from an income tax perspective, so that we reward work and we support those who are making a significant contribution and have been paying the USC for many years. And I acknowledge
Years, Minister. The point that I put to you was that it was introduced as an emergency measure. Is the emergency not over?
The challenge has been that it is bringing in about 5 billion euro in tax receipts. And obviously in the decisions we're taking, we have to make sure there's sustainability to our income tax system. That's why I was able to make an adjustment this year, which I think will be of benefit to many workers in our economy, but why every year there's a possibility on doing more. But I think just removing it overnight in the context of risks that are there in our economy, despite us running significant surpluses, we have to be careful about that, and why I think I've gotten the balance right.
It's only 540 million though out of an 8.3 billion tax and spend package before you get to all the other things, such as the 2.2 billion cost of living package. Why are you continuing with that when inflation has now fallen to near zero?
So inflation is falling, and obviously, as you correctly said, the flash inflation figure from September is at about 0.2%. The reason why we've introduced a cost of living package is that prices in our economy are still really high and many people are still feeling the pressure, still feeling the pinch, and why it was important to advance, for example, from a tax perspective, why I'm giving an uplift to renters in 2024 in addition to the permanent increase that we're making next year. It's also why we're extending mortgage interest relief, for example, but also that we know there are serious pressures when it comes to energy prices in our economy, and that's why we're bringing in an energy credit this year, not to the same extent we did last year. And the cost of living package overall, when you take tax and spending, is 2.2 billion euro. Last year was about 2.7 billion euro, and that's why we've a reduction in it. But I think it was important to respond back to the challenges and the pressures that many families face.
Many, but not all, Minister. So why is it not more targeted? Why is it that there are people who are well off who get exactly the same as those who are struggling to meet the bills that they have amassed over the last couple of years?
So there's a lot of targeted measures in it. For example, the fuel allowance sum of 300 euro is targeted. The living alone allowance lump sum is targeted. The working family payment lump sum is targeted. And all of the one-off payments to care support grants, disability allowance, blind pension, invalidity pension, and the domiciliary care allowance, they're all targeted.
But the energy one is not targeted and has cost over 2 billion to the state since it was introduced.
We've introduced a less of an energy credit this year than we did last year. But the point of this is that a lot of families fall just outside the social protection net, but still face enormous pressures. And that's why we are responding back to that with some universal measures. But you have to acknowledge the targeted nature of many components of the cost of living package, which have been advanced.
The temporary quickly becomes permanent. When are you going to wean people off these so-called one-off supports? Are you going to be, if you're re-elected and if you're back as Minister for Finance next year, will you be doing more one-off measures, or will you then, because you've been re-elected, give up on them?
Well, we'll obviously have to assess the economic conditions of the time, but I think we have to move away from cost of living packages that we obviously have slightly reduced it from last year, and I think next year it'll have to be much reduced again. Obviously we're 12 months out from a budget from next year, and as we know from recent years, the economic conditions can change, and obviously the prediction on inflation is that it'll continue to moderate over the next 12 months.
So does that mean the next budget will be an economic one, whereas this is a political one? This is a setup for the general election, isn't it? An attempt to buy votes by bribing the electorate with their own money.
Absolutely not. I mean, the central focus for me was on the future, was on the wider economic plan that we're trying to advance in the context of the AIB share sale, which is about investing in the future in housing, for example, 1.25 billion to the Land Development Agency, 1 billion euro to Irish Water, and ensuring that we've capital set aside to meet the energy requirements and the upgrade requirements for our grid, for example. It's also why we haven't rushed into throwing money on day-to-day spending when it comes to the Apple windfall receipts. Both myself and Minister Donoghue will carefully manage that and set out investment pillars so that the actual opportunity that a surplus represents around further infrastructure delivery is done properly, and that we have an economic plan to underpin it. And that's where my focus has been in recent weeks, in addition to giving workers a break in the context of income tax changes. And if you look at the surpluses that were projected to run in future years, we're putting money aside in the Future Ireland Fund, in the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund, and making sure that we have money set aside for the medium to long term, and we know economies can change and can be disrupted by different events.
Minister, you had a lot of lobbying in relation to the hospitality sector and tourism, which employs about 13% of the people in this country, and they wanted the VAT rate reduced from 13.5% to 9%. Indeed, your government colleague Peter Burke was very vocal in support of them. So why have you not done anything for them when they say that this is going to cost an enormous number of jobs and a lot of closures of venues all over the country?
So we had a good engagement with the hospitality sector, and I recognise that they have cost pressures and indeed many businesses in our economy and SMEs have pressures when it comes to cost, and Minister Burke will be reviewing the wider cost base we have within the SME and business sector, which I think is an important piece of work to maintain our competitiveness. The tax package I had available was 1.4 billion euros, I mentioned, in the context of the 8.3 billion euro total. And when you look at the cost of providing for a VAT reduction, it wasn't possible to do an income tax package that to ensure that workers weren't levied with excessive taxation as we have wage growth in our economy, and also do a reduction in VAT. And that's why Minister Burke has put extensive work with Minister Donoghue into the development of a new targeted cost of business scheme called Power Up, which is looking at energy costs in particular, and there'll be a direct payment and support for retail and hospitality businesses through that. And it's also why I've changed, for example, the VAT exemption thresholds for small businesses, which has gone to 85,000 and 42,500 for goods and services, which will help SMEs when it comes to their VAT liability.
Indeed, but you mentioned there about the amount of tax that you had available to give back to people as against the amount of money you're spending. Might it not be an idea to give people more of their own money to decide what to do with, rather than spending money which often gets wasted, as we see with the likes of the bicycle shed and the Department of Finance hut, the security hut that you pass every day?
Well, look, those two capital projects are a waste of money, and
a small example of many more.
And I won't defend the indefensible when it comes to value for money, and we need to have reform both within the OPW and within other agencies of the state to deliver value for money, and I'm clear about that in my own role as Minister for Finance. What I would say is, I've tried to deliver an income tax package. I was on your programme in the summer where we discussed the income tax liability that many workers face. I acknowledge they continue to pay a significant income tax liability, are having a significant income tax liability every year. We've tried to give them a break through this budget. And I think for the future, we need to continue to see progressive reductions in income tax, and that supports competitiveness within our economy as well.
Final thing, do you think, is this a budget that will win you the next general election?
That hasn't been the context in which I've made these decisions. Absolutely not. I mean, we've made budgetary decisions for the future in the context of infrastructure and investment. I'll be working with Fianna Fáil and all my colleagues to set out our policy focus in our manifesto, and obviously sound economic management will be at the centre of that, and whenever the election is called.
So is the manifesto effectively going to be the budget?
Oh, absolutely not. No, we have a lot of new ideas when it comes to the economy, when it comes to small business and the future of enterprise.
Why didn't you put them into action over the last 4.5 years of government?
Well, some of them I've put into action today when it comes to, for example, the changes I've made when it comes to the change on CGT relief for startups, for example, so that, you know, we support innovation and enterprise. I've expanded a number of the enterprise reliefs that are there, but we've more to do in the context of research and development enterprise specifically. So there's a lot of areas of focus which we want to advance. We have a programme for government which underpins the budgetary process, and obviously we've a lot more ambition to do more if we're given the chance to do it.
Ambition, Minister, why was there not one big idea from this budget? One big selling point? I mean, I know you said you only found out a couple of weeks ago about the Apple money, but it had been well flagged that that was a likely outcome. Surely you must have had something in mind that you could have announced today in the budget to say, this is something for the state, something really big that will justify taking that Apple money. Why didn't you have it?
Well, but just to correct you, there was very few commentators saying that the outcome would be as it was, and I don't recall that anyone saying that it was. Even the Commissioner Vestager was surprised, and she was taking the case against Ireland. What I would say is we're advancing key infrastructure and economic development by through the windfall tax receipts we've received and what we've received from the AIB share sale, and that is underpinning proper economic development for the future, and that's what we've set aside in this budget to make sure we can create the productive capacity of the economy, drive innovation and enterprise for the future, and that's something has been a central focus of how we've framed the budget and the investment pillars which come from that.
Thank you very much, Minister for Finance, Jack Chambers.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.